and welcome to another episode of Songcraft Breaking It Down. This week we have a special guest, Ollie is on with us.
You almost forgot.
Yeah, I had to revert my mind there for a second. And she has chosen the song Brother by Gerard Way, I don't know how to say it. So why did you choose this song?
I chose this song because it's been very close to my heart since it came out. I think it was about 2014 that it was released. So I've always liked the band that Gerard Way was part of before, My Chemical Romance, because it really fit in with the kind of emo that I was as a tween. So, but when he started his solo career, this was, I think, his first album. And I loved this song, even when I wasn't really thinking that deeply about what it was about. I always loved the way that it sounded, but it does resonate with me. I mean, when you look at what inspired the song, basically Addiction, I can't say that
so that's a dodgy thing to relate to.
I'm not an addict, so I'll clear that up right now, but I think having struggled with various issues, the song kind of themes around, like the title is Brother, family, and the people that you love and that are close to you, supporting you, and you know, through the ups and downs, you kind of get into it more when you look at the lyrics. But it's a very personal song that came from a really personal place for him, and so I think it resonates.
I found when I was listening to it, the feel I very much got was Stressed Out by what are they called, which one was that? Who did Stressed Out?
21 Pilots.
Right, well, I was going to say 5 Seconds of Summer, so I was completely wrong in that.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, but
it was
like
21 Pilots, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of where my mind went when I first heard it. It reminded me a lot of that. I think kind of similar melody, similar beat, almost. I think I'm one of these people who say they're a fan of My Chemical Romance, even though I like one song.
I can't say that I'm a diehard, but I do know more than one, so...
I know one, because Ryan showed me one when he told me who this person was. And to this day, still, because I've not even had time to look the song up, let alone do external research, ever actively listened to My Chemical Romance. I think I had heard of them before this. So I've been aware of them. But somehow this one's just completely missed me. And apparently that's a really bad thing, because they have so many followers on Spotify. Not entirely sure how I've done that.
And they're all teenagers.
That's how I did that.
Yes.
Blackpool.
That's how you missed My Chemical Romance, is because you never went through your teen years, Ethan. You just skipped them completely. Went straight to 30.
Black Parade's great on drums.
Black Parade is a
See, that is song. The most, like, that's the song that comes to people's heads when they think of My Chemical Romance, I think.
Can you name some more?
It's either that, I think, Welcome to the Black Parade is like the anthem that they made. It's pretty popular. Teenagers is another one that has a...
Wait, that.
Yeah.
It's ironic, yes.
That's selling out or not? I'm not sure.
It's kind of, well, recently it's had a bit of a resurgence in popularity because of TikTok, you know, as everything is that was good once. So, there's a few, like Helena, Na Na Na. They're all good. I would recommend listening to a lot of their stuff. But
is Danger Days one, or is that an album?
Yeah, Danger Days is the album.
Oh, that okay. One, that's what's on Genius as a reference, and I thought I had something going then, but never mind.
Well, funnily enough, that kind of links into like Gerard Way. Makes like comics and stuff too, so you know, have you heard of Umbrella Academy? I would assume you have, but now I know that you haven't heard of a lot of stuff, so even
hey.
Umbrella Academy.
I'm struggling.
I love our social media rock.
Mm-hmm. Well, that,
I didn't know he made Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, he's the creative mind behind the comics that is adapted from, so he has, yeah.
I hate to say it, but in his photo on Wikipedia, he looks like a comic book guy. Like, he's just got that face that says, comic book nerd.
Yeah, I can understand that. So.
I've never seen, I've just looked at a picture of him now, and I've never seen someone whose hair can literally be described as RGB 25500. That's the most red I've ever seen anything to be red.
That's, well, I was going to say that's dyed, but I really have no idea.
It is very, that was the whole thing, like through the My Chemical Romance years, it's always different.
Because
it's impressively red. Goodness me.
It's
almost painful to look at.
But then, so actually, looking into the lyrics, obviously, in my head, it's about his brother, and you mentioned addiction earlier, and there's some great songs about addiction, actually. What was the one that Disturbed did? A Reason to Fight. Very good song about addiction.
I think my favourite drug-connected song was that one that 6AM did with literally anyone they could get on the phone.
Any rock artist they could pull onto it.
Slash, come here. Corey Taylor, you come too. Just any name someone, they were there.
Yeah.
Country singer? Why not? Come along. Tag along, my bro.
Yeah.
What an amazing song.
What I find interesting, though, is that he's actually 44.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as a 44-year-old. He still almost acts like he's 25.
Well, that would put him at about, 20, 21, 22 when... What was the original album
called? Well, he was born in 77, so... The Black Parade album was released in 2006, and Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge was released in 2004. So yeah, was 36 or 9 when they released those up. Wow. Because he doesn't look like it at all.
Hang on. Read me the... No. Hang on. Read me those dates again. You said 2003.
4 and 6.
2004, okay, so that's 17 years ago, so he couldn't have been 36, because he's 44 now.
So he was... I was born in 2003, so it's pretty old, 18 years old, to be precise.
Oh, hang on. It says he was born in 1977, but that he's 44 years old.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, it's you that's wrong here. It wasn't 36 when... the albums came out. He would have been...
Was he 26?
27, I think, if my maths is right.
Was close. Mm. Okay, that makes more sense then.
Yeah.
Something else we're allowed to add to that list of things we're not allowed to teach.
Maths.
So, Anthony, where's he from?
The US.
Since you're on Wikipedia, what state and whereabouts in the US is it?
I thought he was in some state, but look at this.
He's from New Jersey and a place called Summit, New Jersey. And New Jersey is in America.
You're joking.
And where in America is a very good question.
We should do this more often.
Just opposite old Jersey.
Telling me. Found it. It's on the East Coast, but it's the state above New York City.
Which way is east, Anthony?
That way. It's above New York City, I think, if my geography is correct, which it probably is not.
Poland's not farmland.
But I mean, going back to how it looks... On the album cover, Hesitant Alien, he does look like he's on a bad trip and someone's just caught him randomly.
One could almost say he looks like a hesitant alien.
Yeah, that is kind of the, what would you say, like, aesthetic of the album. Everything that was kind of going on around when this was released. Yeah.
Mm. I did actually, I liked some of the lyrics. They were, it's quite well written. For a kind of pop punk artist almost. Using the hear the drums, the city rain, to kind of auditory imagery was a phrase that I had to look up. But yeah, like, hear the drums, the city rain, I think that's a really good kind of, as I said, auditory imagery. And obviously, I believe there's an element of his brother being homeless throughout this.
Yeah.
And almost having to live in like either tents or cardboard boxes or bins and things. And like the kind of, when you hear rain on like a bin or a tent, it is kind of like a almost a mistuned bass drum or a floor tom.
Yeah. Yeah, it is an interesting one. There's a lot of meanings that go behind this girl.
Yeah, that's one thing I found as well, is that there's a lot of things, like Ryan said about, you know, sleeping in tents and on sofas, as, you know, being homeless and his brother being homeless. But what I found out was that actually it may have referred to when they were originally starting out My Chemical Romance, that, you know, they were doing small gigs and things and they weren't really making money out of it until they had, you know, Big Hit and everything like that. So they were sleeping around on couches and things like that, you know, trying to make a penny, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's how a lot of kind of smaller bands start out, that they just kind of almost have to take this leap of faith to kind of just go for it and see how it goes, because it's not cheap being in a band, and it's difficult because you can't really tour and get your kind of do your own marketing without a job and things. But then if you are touring marketing, then you're likely to lose your job, so it's a kind of double-edged sword.
It kind of flashes back to the one of the first ones we did, though, Forget Me Not by Brian Fallon. I mean, I don't have to look it up, it's the first time I've not forgot it, because he was at work when his song premiered, wasn't he? And his boss was like, right, stop work, come on, roll us a bit, then I hauled them all over.
I mind that, yeah.
Listening to it gave me a vibe of, and I can't remember exactly what group it is or what episode it was on, but there was a point we discussed on this season where there was a singer that was singing in such a way that it sounded like he was saying something he wasn't, or like to make his lyrics sound slightly more stranger. Like he was saying one thing, but it sounded like another.
I remember that. I just can't remember who it was.
No. Maybe future Ryan will tell us. Who knows?
Probably not. It's far too much effort in editing.
It kind of sounds a bit like that. I'm not sure if that was the effect. And also, I listened to the recording of it. I know this isn't the lyrics. It's completely not what you asked, but it's in connection with the lyrics, I suppose, in a way. It sounded like the microphone was too far away from the recording. If that makes sense? Like the whole thing, it sounds distant. It sounds echoey. And I'm not sure if that's poor recording quality and they couldn't be bothered to do it again, or if that's actually really clever and symbolizing something that's far beyond my intellect tonight, just because of what the lyrical kind of meaning is, being distant. I wonder if there was something that inspired the song in connection with distance.
Very possible.
I may be just reading far too far into that. Too
much. You never know. I mean, that is a really good take on it, actually.
But in terms of the actual lyrics themselves, the drums of the City Rain, the only City Rain I'm used to was Dragon Force drums. I live in Shetland. It always rains very much.
Why does it always rain on me?
Having recently taken up lyrical writing, I recognise it's not an easy thing to do.
However, well written. It kind of, like, to me, the writing's almost got like this. I could imagine Billy Talent doing that, but I could imagine Billy Talent doing it 100 times better, personally.
You would say about everything, though. You know, a bit, oh yeah, Billy Talent can do that better.
No, because I wouldn't say Billy Talent can do Always by Bon Jovi better than Bon Jovi can. But in this case,
yeah, because Bon Jovi are also a big band to you. You know,
that's a me thing, but. Watch Keep the Faith for more information. Or listen to, whatever.
Yeah, but, back to Keep the Faith.
It's not by any means Ports of the Fall. I think that's kind of what we've set as the benchmark for lyrical writing. They kind of take the cake in most departments, I think. They're something else. But it's at the same time, it's not what you'd get out of modern songwriting. So I'm kind of here nor there on it. It's sort of slightly distant sentimentality I sort of need to be in the mood for on the day. But lyrically, it's not. I just got to verse two. Does anyone have the guts to shut me up?
I'll,
not me.
I'll, I'll crack out the old one. Credit where credit's due. He's not wrote a song that sounds exactly like My Chemical Romance, which is something, or maybe he has modern My Chemical Romance, because I've heard they've changed a lot.
The thing is that I was just about to say, it reminds me of My Chemical Romance, and I think it's maybe just his voice.
It reminds me of Radiohead.
Yeah, I kind of got a little bit of Radiohead in there.
I think that might have been the episode we're talking about, because that's kind of the effect I'm getting from this.
Like, yes, it was Radiohead. Yes. Street Spirit Fade Out. It was.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's actually quite a good comparison, Radiohead. It's not amazing poetic lyricism or anything, you know, breaking.
A little bit creepy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. kind of. I'm not sure.
Yeah, like, I think it's a common theme. When an artist, like a lead singer of a band, goes solo, they always seem to stick to that sound, and it just, you listen to it and you think, that could just be the band, to be honest, because it doesn't sound different. But no, this definitely sounds different to My Chemical Romance that I know of, which is one song, so...
But is that because...
It's not a great control group.
An informed statement. I would agree, though. I think there is things about it that are quite a lot different. I mean, lyrically, they do tend to write about stuff that is more kind of, I don't know, personal and related to, like, struggles. They're not, like, super cheery in the things that they write about majority of the time. But I think just, yeah, there are differences, definitely, to what they normally do.
I just
a little bit like Billy Eilish.
Ryan, what you said about, you know, when people go into solo careers, it still sounds like their band. Is that because the person who goes into the solo career is the songwriter usually? So they're just actually doing them what they do, but it's actually the band that were.
That's the assumption. But.
What's the point?
From looking in, I've actually noticed that a lot of the songwriters for groups aren't actually the lead singer. I mean, take Rush for an example.
Yeah.
The drummer's there. Yeah.
And
he's
that's,
there,
that's,
songwriter.
That's a good example of the drummer being the singer-songwriter, or songwriter anyway. A bad example of a drummer being the songwriter and also the singer is Genesis.
Mm-hmm. Another good example, Nothing More, as I found out the other night.
Yeah. And actually, there's a lot of drummers sing backing vocals on songs, like 3 Days Grace.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Backing vocals for 3 Days Grace is done by the drummer.
I thought all of them did that. It does sound very atmospheric whenever they do it.
Taylor Hawkins, he's probably the best drummer backing vocalist you can ever get.
He's up there, definitely up there.
I can't think of many who are better. But yeah, he sings on Sunday Rain, because they got Paul McCartney to play the drums on it. And of course, Paul McCartney, in Paul McCartney fashion, they have 6 drum kits set up in the studio for Paul McCartney to pick which one he wants to play, and he brings his own drum kit, and then takes one take to do the whole recording. This, what is it? It's about a 5-minute song, I want to say, and it's, you know, it's not like an easy song to play. It's kind of a little bit of technical flair in there, and then, you know, it's Paul McCartney. When they asked him who's the best drummer in the Beatles, or do you think Ringo Starr is the best drummer in the world, Paul McCartney replied, I don't think he's the best drummer in the Beatles.
That's not the most humble either.
But Ringo,
although it has to be said that Paul McCartney
in the world, me.
I mean, Bono was going at the same time, so.
I thought you were about to give Bono some form of credit, and I was thinking, what have you been smoking?
No.
Chemical Romance.
Sorry, Bonzo. John Bonham.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Bono, and I was thinking...
No, Bono's,
talking about
Bono's,
inhaler here.
Bono's not a drummer.
Yeah, I know.
Bono's hardly a singer. The only good thing that came from him was inhaler.
That's true.
And we're back to that.
I mean,
why do you mention that, Ethan? Like, how do Bono and inhaler?
Not, we've done this joke to death, haven't we? We've been there. We've done that.
I'll tell you
and
who.
It's still funny.
I'll tell you who is a cracking singer. It's The Edge. Have you ever heard his version of "Sunday Bloody Sunday"?
Who? Sorry, I didn't.
It's basically the guitarist for the U2. I almost said the Who.
Heard nothing of it.
I've
wait. He covered his own song.
No, he covered U2's song, but when he sings it, it's slowed down. There's not the drums in it, which I'm a little bit disappointed. But like, he does a really, really good version of it. He sings it better than Bono, in my opinion. But is that hard? Like,
something impressive. What was his name?
I'm sure it's The Edge, but that might be the DVD I seen it on. It was very late at night that I watched this. No, it is.
A Human League.
He's called The Edge, the Irish musician.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
David Howell Evans. Oh, you two fans won't be happy. He's English born.
Bono did a song with someone, and I actually really liked it. I think it was with The Corrs.
The who?
No, The Corrs.
I was waiting for someone to make that joke. I thought you were mispronouncing The Corrs.
Oh no! and I think I'd have to be a total idiot to do that.
I was thinking that would have been an interesting.
When Sky Now.
hey, it's Leonard Skynard, obviously.
I was just thinking that'd be a really interesting version of Flair of Scotland. The Corrs and Bono. Moving on, I think we should just go to scores before we get any worse.
Before we start another war.
Not another one, guys, come on.
Not another one. Not another one.
Another one? You're joking. Another one. I think that's the first time I've got that into this podcast.
No, you've said it many, many, many times.
You've said it many times, but I've cut it most of the time.
You're joking.
You're joking.
Another one.
Right. Scores. So we'll do... Ollie, we'll ask for your score first.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 100.
Okay.
You can do it out of 10 if you want.
We can work with that.
Well, considering that it was me that chose this and that I like it a lot, I'll have to have it pretty high. So I'll say somewhere like 80. That's pretty. Okay.
Not 75 then. Here we go. This is where we find out, Anthony. What's your score?
75.
I bet you were 75. Me and Ryan had this conversation ages ago.
Do you know what? I'm actually really upset because that's the number that came to my head. I might have to just do 74 just out of spite.
So that means it's worse than Romeo and Juliet by Dire Straits.
And Signal 30 by Public Service.
But that also means that it's better than...
Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
Yes.
Which is false. I've forgotten about. But no,
and better than Say again. You'll Haunt Me?
No.
This is your score.
That's not how this works.
This is your scores here, aren't they?
Oh, is it? Oh no, it's not better than Street Spirit. Okay, I'm going to give it a 69. Based on my scores, I'll give it 69.
Okay. Any explanation or just...
Because it's not better than Street Spirit Fade Out. That's my explanation.
Did you give that a 70?
Yes. I regret that score very much.
Yeah, I think you do.
I wish I'd given it a 90 now.
It's not that good.
Wow.
I absolutely love the entire album now. It's like one of the best albums I've ever listened to.
It's a bit like how 88 really doesn't look quite so good on the Greta Van Fleet line.
Do you know what? I was actually thinking about choosing another Greta Van Fleet song just to get it higher than Light My Love.
Yeah. You'll need to do that. Season 3.
Yeah, I was literally thinking Season 3 because I can't choose any more songs now. I was thinking Season 3 we'll do another Greta song and I know which one I'll go for because I know that you love this song and the solo in it, so.
Stop going for top spot. That's not how this is meant to work.
Yes, it is. That's what we said we were going
to
do.
It's going to take something to beat Keep the Faith, though.
Yeah, it's just something special.
Yeah, a double 100, and Ryan will only go as high as 75 on Greta. on any song.
Pretty sure for Greta the last time I gave that an 80. Which one's mine? Did I give it a 68? Oh yeah, I did.
That's because you just hated us.
I just didn't like it. I didn't like it was his voice. That's what did it for me. His voice. His voice on that song. That's what wound me up.
Yeah, I apologise to everyone involved. I'm going to give this one a 55. On the lines that I'm kind of here now there about it. I don't have any connection to the group, the guy, anything to do with it. I'm still not listening to anything. This is the only song I've listened to him, listened to of his, I should say. The Black Brigade, something, Welcome to the Black Brigade.
Welcome to the Black Parade.
Parade.
Yeah. Black Parade. Close. I was very close.
You're enough.
You're thinking of the anti-racism movement, the Black Brigade.
It's better than Tic Tac and Rodriguez anyway, but yeah. Moving on. Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. I've listened to one song by each of them, so I don't have much of a connection. That was a long-winded way of saying that. The lyrics are fairly impressive for someone who has a reputation for being that guy, the kind of Billie Eilish with an Adam's apple kind of situation going on.
I think that's the best, I've ever heard My Chemical Romance described.
Well, they both have RGB hairdos, so it's close enough.
Yeah.
And they both wear mascara. Yeah.
And I have no contribution.
And yeah, Billie Eilish also has an Adam's apple. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, controversial.
I don't think it's controversial. I think it was just a joke. I don't think it's much of an argument.
I think a lot of young teenage girls would get very annoyed at you if you said that, Ryan.
Have you ever heard of Bo Burnham? They get annoyed at a lot of things. That sent Ryan.
You know what it is? It's because I was listening to that earlier on.
That's such a good song. But yeah, I don't really have much of a way to explain it. I'm kind of here nor there, but I'm on the good side of here nor there because I'm curious to know if there's something a bit clever going on because I couldn't find anything to prove it. It's only 5 points more than Middle Ground. Didn't hate it. Didn't make my playlist. Didn't,
love it, yeah. I think I'm going to give this a 58. Lyrically...
What's with all the weird scores? Come on, guys.
Yeah. Well, are we trying to fill out the table in the last episode?
I'll explain my score. Lyrically, I quite enjoyed it, which is why I think it's worth more than half points. And then I've given myself an extra 3 points because I want to appear nicer than Ethan in most cases. So that gives this song an average score of 65.5, which puts it in 23rd place, just ahead of Back Rolls by Lonely the Brave, which, in my opinion, is another song that's way too low on this chart.
I agree.
Because that's a brilliant song. But yeah, so that puts that song into 23rd place.
And behind Thank You Scientist, who I've been trying to get into lately but just can't.
Behind In the Company of Worms behind In the Company of Worms by Thank You Scientist and ahead of Signal 30 by Public Service Broadcasting. So at least it's beat one thing that it definitely should have beat.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
No.
You realise that I gave it such a high score for like one lyric in the song. And I listened to it. It came up on my playlist recently. I was listening to my like songs and it came on and I was like, yeah, I'm really happy with the score I gave it just for that one lyric in it. Because it's so good. Like, it came on and I actually sang it and I was like, yeah, this is
what See, this. What, Signal 30? Signal 30?
Yeah.
Is that what you're on about? See, I think what made that song better for me was our episode on it. I didn't like the song before, and actually I think I liked it after because of all the jokes we made throughout it.
Yeah.
Drive safe, Tim!
That was worth probably like 3 points.
This is the worst road trip ever. Sorry, Tim, that was an absolutely horrendous impression of you. I do apologize.
But yeah,
I don't want to hear you do an impression of Tim.
I do. I mean, we've already offended the Irish, so you may as well just go for it. I'll explain. Next week, we're going to do a little bit of a roundup of the season. I've got a few things planned, a few categories planned. Probably talking about some of the write-ins we've had, all three of them. And...
Well, I'm sure we can fabricate some more if we need to. As long as we don't tell anyone they're completely fabricated.
You chose
Keto Bob.
I'm trying to name a Bon Jovi song, but as I'm trying to think of a Bon Jovi song, I can't think of a Bon Jovi song.
Shot through the heart.
You give love a bad name. A bad complicated. Name. Yes.
All my life. It's my life, sorry. All my life it's Foo Fighters.
That's Foo Fighters.
All my life is another good choice.
Yeah. So props to you.
I've not done Foo Fighters yet.
I know.
How was that possible?
Because Ryan has made it that way.
How?
Anyway.
Either of you could have chose it. Why is it my fault? But yeah, so like to thank Ollie for joining us and thank you all for listening. Now my question is, can you take me home?
Country road.
There we go.
To the place I belong. We probably can't sing that because he hated us for the passion.
And now that you've likely removed your headphones due to Anthony singing, I'd like to thank you all for listening. If you want to write in to us, it's probably too late, but, you know, do it anyway.
Well, that being said, it's going to be 2 weeks probably to get the next episode recorded, so...
It might not be too late, but if it is, still write in anyway. You can email us at songcraft.bid@gmail.com or you can follow us on Instagram at song.craft.bid. But yeah, once again, thank you all for listening and goodbye.
Cheery.